Ask any racer, any real racer. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
But in Pima County, it does matter. Welcome to our second episode of PCSD.
What's the word?
We are talking street racing. We are your hosts, Kevin Adger.
And Angelica Carrillo. And of course, we had to have a little bit of the Fast and the Furious there for today's topic.
Oh, we have to. It's a must. We are joined by
Deputy Jason Levinson and Deputy Virginia Howard. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Of course.
Thanks for having us.
We promise we will not quiz you on Fast and the Furious trivia during this. We're talking about real street racing that can be a serious issue here in the area.
It's an important topic. It's a hot topic. So first of all, tell us how big of an issue, Virginia, I'll go to you first, is street racing in the county? How big of an issue is it?
It's a pretty big issue. We've seen it occurring all throughout Pima County. We receive calls and complaints continuously regarding vehicles that are traveling at high rates of speed, driving recklessly all throughout town, throughout Pima County. And we can see that it's a continuing and growing trend.
Can I add one more question? Do you guys normally see it during the week or the weekends?
Typically more so over the weekends. Yeah, during the nighttime.
Okay.
So for someone who's not familiar with street racing, a lot of people have seen the Fast and the Furious, right? You think of, either one or two cars or potentially shutting down a street with multiple cars. What are you guys seeing here in the area?
It tends to encompass quite a few things. Oftentimes, they are attempting to take over intersections, and they do so by placing vehicles surrounding the intersection, allowing individuals to go inside of that intersection and perform donuts and other sort of vehicle tricks, you could say. We also see that they are racing from spot to spot and throughout town, drifting around corners or other streets, just anywhere that they can, basically.
What speeds are they getting to?
They can get over 100 miles per hour. And as long as there's a long enough straightaway, and they also have muscle type vehicles, and they are able to get to those speeds pretty quickly.
All right, Deputy Levinson, as a traffic guy, what dangers does it pose for these people that are going out on the weekend racing these cars at high rates of speed when maybe the speed limit is 45 or something like that? What kind of dangers does it pose?
Right. So there's multiple aspects to the danger. But when we talk about racing, a lot of people just think of two cars lining up as like a drag race. But racing doesn't just encompass drag racing. It's all exhibition of speed, testing their physical endurance. So like Virginia said, a lot of times they do donuts in the intersections, any type of, high acceleration. They're putting not only themselves and the other people watching in those intersections, but also the general public that are driving on the road, just commuting home, going out to eat, going to work. With the increased wear and tear on the roads, it creates more of a danger for everyone that's, using the roadway for normal commutes. We'll have, potholes and cracking more frequently than we would on normal driven roads because of the increased wear and tear that they're presenting in those areas. Now, with the people that we've observed in the county, sometimes they'll have people hanging out of windows while they're doing donuts and intersections. They're posing an increased threat to those passengers. We've actually had on video several of those occupants falling out of vehicles while they're doing those donuts. There's also been a heightened level of activity with the groups that we've seen where they're presenting firearms to the public. So when they're doing an intersection takeover, they're locking down a whole area. And now they don't want people driving through because they want to block it off for themselves. So we've seen a couple of cases already where they are presenting firearms. We've had a couple of shootings in Tucson and in the county.
Yeah, how concerning is that? Obviously, the street racing is one thing to be concerned about, right? But then some of the residual, activities that come with this, with the firearms and, what other activities are going on out there.
Right. So one of the things that we've seen with a lot of the people that we end up pulling over into traffic stops from those situations is that we get a lot of people that are driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol. So, you know, not only, you know, the normal dangers of driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol, but now they're going a lot faster than they should be going. You know, the roadways are tested and approved for certain speed limits. And those are for everyone's safety. So when they're, you know, under the influence, they're not considering that. They're not considering their own safety, the safety of the people in their vehicles. A lot of the times they're even bumping into each other and causing, you know, collisions, sometimes minor, sometimes more major, where we do have to respond to a fatal collision.
I'll let one of you guys answer this one. How many people are we seeing out on these like street takeovers, these street races? Are we seeing hundreds, dozens? What is it like? How many numbers are you guys seeing?
It can vary, but it can definitely get into 100 plus.
Wow.
Oftentimes they are gathered in different areas and smaller groups, and then we'll end up converging together.
Wow. Yeah. I've been with the county for 4 years now, and I know, like, you know, 3-4 years ago, we'd get calls on street racers, and it might be 2 or 3 cars driving high rate of speed through a neighborhood, maybe doing a couple burnouts. But now, you know, like Virginia said, we've gotten calls and actually observed, you know, a couple hundred vehicles at a time. It's not just people that live in, you know, Pima County or in Tucson, but sometimes they come from other cities and other towns, and they all converge to make those events even larger.
Do you think that like social media has played a role in getting people to know what the word is, where it's happening, that kind of thing?
Social media has definitely played a role in all of the street racing and takeover events throughout not only Pima County, Arizona, but nationwide and internationally. It's something that they can go ahead and post to get some clout for. So it definitely influences the behavior.
What are some of the charges that they can face for doing these street racing?
So you have your normal, you know, speed citations. You can also get criminal speeding. So anything 20 miles an hour over the posted speed limit, you could actually be arrested for those speeds. Reckless driving encompasses a number of attributes to breaking our Arizona traffic laws, which is also a criminal arrest. Racing, like I had mentioned earlier, any kind of exhibition of speed, testing of endurance. So doing burnouts, high accelerations, donuts, drag racing, those are all arrestable offenses. If they're prosecuted for street racing and they get charged a second time within 2 years, it goes from being a misdemeanor to a felony. And they can, at that time, the fines are normally doubling. They're getting jail and prison sentences. So they're really escalating what comes back on them. As we talked about the dangers that, you know, passengers or other people can face, they can get charged for endangerment. So endangerment can be per person. So if you've got someone hanging out the window, they're in danger, they're falling out, you can be charged with that. Driving recklessly, you know, through a busy roadway that has other people driving on it, you can actually get endangerment charges per vehicle that you're kind of displacing. So if someone has to do an evasive maneuver, you know, we're going to look at why that happened, what made it that they couldn't just drive down the lane that they were designated in.
Those are some pretty serious charges, right, that can have, you know, big implications down the road for these people's lives.
Exactly. And then, like I had mentioned earlier with the DUI aspect, you know, those are other, you know, criminal offenses that they can be arrested for if they're drinking and driving or, you know, doing drugs.
And then people put, you know, thousands of dollars of work into these cars, right? Do those cars get impounded in certain cases or that kind of thing?
Yeah, so we have a number of reasons that we can impound a vehicle or tow a vehicle from the roadway. Reckless driving is one of those things because they're putting people at danger. So sometimes a misdemeanor can be a cite and release. So they're arrested, provided a court date, and released. But if they're posing a threat that they will continue to drive recklessly, that vehicle can be taken from them. And then other, you know, times where they're physically arrested, we can't leave their vehicles in the roadway at that traffic stop. And at that time, we do have to tow them.
Okay, interesting. Deputy Howard, I'll ask you this one. We talked about the charges that the people may face. How old are these people that are getting involved in these street races? Are they young? Are they old? Are they teens? Are they just, you know, kids that have just gotten their license? How old are these?
Yeah, it kind of varies, but we have seen 16-year-olds out there. We've seen, 16, 25 is pretty much the majority, but we've definitely seen into the 30s and 40s.
What do you think it is that brings them out or drags them out to these street things?
I think they find it to be fun and maybe don't take into consideration the dangers that there are behind it. Some say that it's a way for them to release some of the stress for the week that has built up, and they're just kind of out there, again, just trying to have fun. But there's obviously an element of adrenaline rush to it in performing those tricks or endurance type things.
I'm just wondering if there's a safe avenue for people who, you know, like the adrenaline rush. I mean, I've been to Fantastics. I know what a fun time it is to drive the race cars, but is there like a safe way to do this type of racing?
There are a couple locations throughout Arizona that they can go to and can actually drift as a sanctioned event. Every once in a while, those locations will hold like a pit type day where they are able to go in. But again, that's all done in a safe manner.
Definitely not shutting down an intersection and doing it illegally.
Correct.
I wanted, how are they shutting down an intersection? You're driving your car, you're going somewhere to the store, and then all of a sudden you see a shutdown. How are they doing this? How will they shut down the road and tell people you can't go this way?
Well, usually it's just because of the amount of people that they have. They will line their cars up in all directions. So coming from the east, west, north, south, line cars up to go ahead and prevent other vehicles from coming through. But then there's also the additional layers behind that. And then people looking out as well. And then you throw in, the pedestrians or individuals that have gotten out of their car to go ahead and observe and videotape and be in the intersection also prevents civilians from other Pima County citizens from being able to get through that way.
Ugh, can you imagine being late to something and then coming across an intersection being like, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm sure people are upset. I mean, and the wrong person gets there, you know, they could cause more issues.
Yeah, for sure. Can be a dangerous thing. If someone were to be driving and kind of notices this, you know, maybe they're going to start to shut things down or it looks like people are going to start racing. What avenues do people have to sort of report it?
I would say, first of all, just try to avoid the area. We don't want them to be in any sort of situation where they can be injured, their vehicle can be damaged, that sort of thing. And then just immediately contact 911, report what it is that they're seeing specifically and the specific area that they're seeing it. If it seems to be something that is occurring on their street every single day, they can also call their non-emergency number, and they can also make a report online that we can go ahead and look at. It is occurring, again, all throughout Pima County, so we do get quite a bit of complaints via the internet as well as the non-emergency type lines that these are occurring just everywhere.
Wow. Are you surprised by the increase in these events?
Not so much. I think it does kind of go back to that social media aspect of it.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll just take a break and we'll come back with Deputy Howard, Deputy Levinson on PCSD. What's the word?
Catalina State Park is a great place to visit and go for a hike. Its wild beauty and serene landscape so close to town draws visitors year round.
But in the summer, hiking in the park can be deadly in the extreme heat. Trails like Romero Pools can easily turn dangerous. Shade is hard to find and heat injuries can happen fast, even if you're in great shape.
The Sheriff's Department and Golden Ranch Fire get calls about hikers in heat-related trouble all summer long. Too often, they end in tragedy.
Don't put yourself or others at risk when it's hot. Visit the park early in the morning or in the evening. And remember,
don't hike in the heat.
And we're back to PCSD.
What's the word?
Talking with Deputy Howard, Deputy Levinson. We're talking street racing. The next question we want to talk about, what are some of the initiatives in the works to crack down on street racing?
you know, mainly it's just actively being out there on patrol, conducting traffic stops, observing the nature of our drivers while we're out there, while we're there conducting, you know, normal traffic enforcement. Hopefully that minimizes their, you know, want or need to be in those areas. So, you know, conducting high traffic enforcement in the areas that we know to be common for street racing activities. You know, some of the big intersections that do get taken over.
What are some of those big intersections?
It tends to be Old Nogales Highway and Aerospace. That's a pretty popular one. There's a few that are more in town, on like 22nd Kino type area. And off of Houghton, there tends to be a lot of racing. It's a long straightaway. Right. It's pretty wide. It's just newly developed road. And part of it is we're taking more of a zero tolerance stance on it because it is such a growing trend and it is such a dangerous trend. When they're going around and they're doing these sort of activities, they're tearing up their tires or they already have somewhat bald tires on it. That's going to really prevent their vehicle from stopping in a timely manner that they need to in order to prevent running into anything. I mean, it could be something as simple as a coyote that ends up coming out on the road, you know, they wreck and then they're going at such a high speed, their vehicle can end up in other lanes of traffic, which, you know, if another vehicle is traveling that way, that's a concern.
It's super dangerous. What other charges are they looking at?
One of the big ones with the intersection takeovers is blocking the thoroughfare. So that means the vehicles that are lined up blocking normal flow of traffic so they can encompass that intersection. They will be charged for blocking a thoroughfare, as well as the people that are actively there watching. So sometimes there's, you know, upwards of, you know, 50 to 100 vehicles parked on the side of the road, lined up, you know, on the shoulder of the road. So they're not blocking, but then they're out of their vehicles and engaging in the street racing activities. You know, sometimes they're just out there watching. Sometimes, you know, they're out there drinking, smoking. You know, they can have other, you know, tools, you know, different lights and lasers, things like that, to engage themselves in those activities, even though they're not specifically driving a vehicle.
And what about are there curfew issues with like kids that are 18, 16? Are there any charges for those?
There are. So because a lot of the people that we engage with are juveniles, anyone 16 to 18 years old, does have a curfew from midnight to 5 in the morning. So when they're out there past midnight, they are charged for curfew. Because they're juveniles, that means that they're arrested and now we have to contact their parents and we have to hold them until their parents can come and pick them up. Because of that, you know, if their parents are picking them up, now we have a vehicle that they drove. Now that vehicle is going to get towed. It's going to get sent to the tow yard. And the parents are going to incur all the added charges, not just paying the charges for the arrest, but they're going to have to pay for the tow fees and the storage fees of those vehicles. Anyone under the age of 16 has a curfew from 10 p.m. until 5 in the morning. So same thing, those kids hopefully are not driving vehicles, though sometimes kids are taking their parents' vehicles.
Oh, no.
You know, whether the parents know that or not. And so anyone under the age of 16, if they're out between 10 p.m. and 5 in the morning without their parent or guardian, they'll be charged for the curfew laws and their parents will have to come pick them up.
Oh my goodness. Let me tell you one thing. If I'm 16 and 18 and you're calling my parents, I'm like, take me to the jail because I do not want to deal with my parents. It's probably going to be worse. I'm not going to have a car. They're probably going to like have a talking to me that is not going to be fun. So I'm probably like, take me to jail, please.
Please. You know, and Kevin, as a dad, you have all kinds of kids.
Oh, boy.
Imagine. Please,
gosh, yes. I have, yeah, man, I have one that's going to be 13. And so 3 more years, she's going to be driving. But I'm going to have to get like one of those Apple tags or something.
Got to watch them. Yeah. Car. And this brings up a good point. I mean, what advice do you guys have for parents? Like, is there something that they can like look out for to know, you know, you check in with your kids and everything looks good, but you know, how do parents know that they might be engaging in this type of activity?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of it is, you know, as parents knowing what your kids are doing and who they're hanging out with, you know, it's okay to do legal modifications on your vehicle. So, you know, if your kid likes to tinker and, you know, do mechanical things, you know, it's not a bad way to learn, you know, by working on your own vehicle. But monitoring, you know, their tires, we do engage a lot of like pickup trucks with the street racing. Sometimes the pickup trucks are conducting burnouts and donuts as well. But a lot of the times they have spare tires, they have jacks in the back of their vehicles, so that when vehicles do blow out tires, they can go and swap out tires and try to get out of the area when they see law enforcement coming. So knowing, you know, if your kids are taking tools, you know, out of the garage with them when they go out to meet their friends, you know, they might be up to something that you're not aware of. There's a, you know, a lot of apps, you know, on the phones to be able to track your kids using the cell GPSs. So just knowing, you know, what they're doing, you know, what their demeanor is, if their demeanor changes, they're, you know, trying to, you know, tell you one thing, but you kind of get that, you know, sixth sense, if you will, that, you know, they might be up to something else, you know, talking to them about it, talking to their friends about it, so that you really know what they're doing.
I agree with one of the big things to look for is the modifications to the vehicle and the tires, because if they're going out and all of a sudden there's newer tires or different types of tires or things like that, that's going to be a really big sign that they're burning through those. And in order to do that, they're doing some sort of burnouts, drifting, donuts, whatever it may be.
Such an expensive thing to be switching out.
Hey, that's an expensive hobby.
Yeah.
It's very expensive. I mean, tires are expensive.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to touch on, because we talked about parents kind of looking out for their kids, but what about the families that are actively participating in this with siblings or aunts or uncles, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it is a concern, because any person that's out on foot or in a vehicle has a chance of being hit by a vehicle. We've seen it happen where individuals that are videotaping have to either jump out of the way or weren't able to jump out of the way, or a vehicle went a little too far and ended up hitting those that were blocking that area. So they went out of the pit area a little bit. So it's very dangerous to go ahead and take any of the relatives out there. They can be charged for putting any sort of children in that kind of danger.
I have one question. So when they do the street takeover, so they take over the intersection, it's just mainly doing donuts. They're not doing like one car in one lane, one car in the other lane, and then go. Are they doing that? Or is it just mainly the donuts and the tricks?
So for the intersection takeovers, they're blocking off a short distance, so they're not doing drag racing in those areas. But sometimes there are multiple vehicles doing donuts. They, you know, do have collision issues when they're doing that, as well as, you know, all the bystanders, people that are videotaping or watching, want to get in the action, and they're walking in between the vehicles, or having, you know, cars do donuts and circles around them. It puts them in that increased danger. I think a lot of it is educating the public. So they're aware that it is a very dangerous thing, which is why at sanctioned racetracks, where there's, you know, legal days and times for them to go do those things, they have, you know, high safety issues. And part of doing it there is that they have, you know, safety officials. Sometimes they have, you know, paramedics on you know, standby, you know, in case someone does have a collision or there's, you know, a mishap and someone gets injured. When they're doing it on the street illegally and taking over an intersection or a whole roadway, they don't have that, you know, emergency aid available to them.
They have these vehicles that they've either modified or already come as a type of muscle car type thing. And so their whole thing is being able to show what they can do with it. So even in the takeover, when they're traveling around, that's when they're racing against each other or trying to show how fast they can go and things like that. And that's where like more of the drag racing stuff comes into play.
Kind of more on the outskirts of the city, where they have long, you know, straightaways that may not have as much traffic going on in the middle of the night. And in those areas, we have seen on occasion where they will block off a roadway, or, you know, you might end up seeing 20, 50, 100 cars parked, you know, at a gas station, or, you know, entering a business illegally at nighttime when they're closed and taking over their parking lot. And then they'll leave, you know, maybe two cars at a time. They'll have one car go down make sure they can block off the end of the roadway, and then they'll, you know, notify the other people, and then you can see, you know, pairs of vehicles going out, and then they'll take off at a high rate of speed. So it could be on the highway, like on Interstate 10. It could be on, you know, a two-lane road or even a single-lane road, and then they're taking the opposing lane of traffic where someone's driving the wrong way. So they'll, you know, be driving maybe the speed limit, maybe under the speed limit, and then when they're kind of lined up, they'll take off and try to, you know, race each other to a specific point.
Wow. Scary.
Yeah. I'm getting my daughter a station wagon or a golf cart. That can't go that fast.
You have to put the lights on it, though.
Like, oh, definitely.
You mentioned that this is happening. You know, you mentioned I-10. You mentioned the east side, you know, all around town. How closely are you guys working with other agencies in the area to sort of mitigate this issue?
All the agencies are aware of it. So the Arizona Department of Public Safety is able to help out not only down here, but as well as the Phoenix metro area and anywhere else throughout Arizona. The Tucson Police Department, as well as the Pima County Sheriff's Department, have worked together and will work together if it's a continuing issue.
So we know people are filming, recording the street racing. They may have dash cams. Are you guys looking for people to kind of send that in to you guys because you can see what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Any individual that's driving around has a dash cam or any sort of other camera is able to use their cell phone, or a passenger preferably use their cell phone to go ahead and record this activity. They can absolutely go ahead and send it in. When they call 911, they can go ahead and let them know that they have that video available. Some people do have concern about reporting and somebody finding out that they had reported, and they can also always report to 88 Crime.
Is that helpful when you guys get those videos?
Yeah, it can be helpful. Yeah, because then we can see the types of vehicles that are involved.
We try to increase our patrol numbers at the times that we historically see things happen. Mm-hmm. And though we can't be at every intersection in the county at all times, you know, anytime that someone's driving on, you know, whatever commute they're on, if they notice or observe, you know, someone driving recklessly, someone, you know, weaving through traffic, they see cars bumping into each other and it looks like they're driving in a pack, or they see the starting, you know, beginning stages of, you know, a possible intersection takeover. You got cars lining up on the side of the road for, you know, no apparent reason. There's not a collision in the intersection, but you've got 20, 30 cars stopping on the side of the road. Call it in. Just call 911. Let us know. That way we can go and check out that area. And if there's anything illegal going on or anyone's in danger, we are able to respond.
Okay. See something, say something.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the gist is leave the street racing and the takeovers to like the Fast and Furious movies, right?
Right.
And that'll probably tie me into my next question. All right, since we're talking takeovers and street racing, Deputy Levinson, I'll let you go first. What is your favorite Fast and Furious movie, if you have one?
That's a difficult question. I've seen the first 9. Oh, I have not goodness. Seen the last
Very
one yet.
Committed.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I've been watching since 2001 when the first one came out.
Yeah.
You know, they're, you know, lovable movies. As they've increased, they create, you know, more, you know, obstruct stunts.
Yes.
Which are just not, not physically possible.
Oh, I know.
In most cases.
You mean Jason Momoa is really not doing what we saw him do in the last one right? movie? Okay. All right, good.
And, you know, that's because they are in a controlled environment. They have, you know, not just actors, but professional stunt artists. They have vehicles that aren't as equipped as they might appear to be in the movies. But in those movies, you see people dumping thousands of dollars into building these cars, and it makes people want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, our, you know, racetracks and dragways create specific events for the public to come to.
Mm-hmm.
So that if they do want to engage in those activities, they can do it in a safe manner. They're not going to be allowed to do the stunts that you see in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
They do increase the extremeness of their stunts in every movie they've done to engage more of the public. And, you know, as the years go on and things become, you know, more normalized, they just try and meet that next level. And unfortunately, you know, we see a lot of the youth in our area trying to recreate those. And it just creates, you know, that increased danger to everyone.
All right.
There's only one Dominic Toretto.
Yeah, yeah. Family.
Family. I love it.
Family.
He doesn't have friends. He has family.
That's right. That's right. Deputy Howard, do you have a favorite Fast and Furious movie?
I do not. I think I've seen one or two, but I can't tell you much about it other than it's a bunch of cars driving fast doing stunts that probably can't happen in real life.
Okay. All right.
Do you have a favorite Fast and Furious, Kevin?
I do. You can't forget, number one is always a classic. The first one is always a classic in every movie series. But my second favorite, which is really behind number one, is three, which is Tokyo Drift.
No, and, yeah. That's your favorite?
Yeah.
That one, most people would say that doesn't count in the...
What?
Yeah, they almost lost me. I almost didn't watch the fourth one.
Thank you.
Because in the trailers, it showed Dominic Toretto, and the trailer showed the entire 30 seconds that he was in the whole movie.
Yeah.
That hurt.
But it was just so cool.
All the colors.
Yeah, and being in Tokyo, like I always, like that's my dream. I want to go to Tokyo.
Okay.
I don't want to drift. Let's get that straight. I don't want to drift. I just want to go to Tokyo. I thought it was cool. What about you?
I like Too Fast, Too Furious. Big fan of that one. But also, do you remember the scene in Greece when they race at the end?
Yeah.
I do like that. I don't condone it, but I do like that one, okay. That scene.
Okay, Sandy. All right. So you don't have a favorite Fast and Furious movie, but since we're talking about fast, we love talking about food. What is your favorite fast food restaurant, Deputy Howard?
I have to pick just one.
Oh, well, top three. All right, give us top three.
It really just depends on, you know, what it is that I'm craving for that day. I feel like Chick-fil-A is always a good one to go to. Salad and Go, I don't know if people consider that a fast food, but I mean, you get a salad pretty quickly. And
it's decently priced.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And then as far as a, like maybe a burger place or something, I'd say Freddy's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My kids like that.
The little fries. Those are good. Fries. Now I'm hungry.
All right. Freddy's on Deputy Howard after this. Deputy Levinson, what do you got? Fast food.
I'd probably say Five Guys. It's not as fast, but it's a good burger and really good Cajun fries.
Yes. I love Five Guys. Oh, here's a trick with Five Guys. If you're the last person at Five Guys and they're about to close the shop, whatever fries they've made for the night, they will give you those bags for free.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they already give you a double scoop no matter what size you are.
I know. I happen to be one of those. And it's bags and bags of French fries.
So this is a case where you want to be that guy at the end of the night, right?
That's one of those times. Yes. Well, we love it. This is great. Very informative. I learned a lot about street racing and these street takeovers. We want to thank you, Deputy Levinson and Deputy Howard, for joining us on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate the work that you do and working to keep our community safe.
Yeah, thank you. Be safe. All right. Thanks for joining us on another episode of PCSD. What's the word?